Hey, Mike Lynch here.
Hey, and I'm Patrick Harris.
You probably like baseball, which is why you're listening to this. This is the Hot Corner Podcast.
Well, I kind of like baseball. I guess I'll tune in.
Baseball's pretty neat, so thanks for listening. This is brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Center.
Doing the right thing since 1952.
Woo, baseball!
The baseball season is way too long.
The game is way too slow.
It's so boring to watch.
Shut up. Get your peanuts, Cracker Jacks, and IPAs ready. This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch.
Swing and a long drive, deep to right.
Covering all things baseball.
Going, going.
The big leagues.
Going, going.
And the MLB to Portland.
Goodbye. He has done it. He has changed the game of the night with one swing of his bat.
Now, here are your hosts, Patrick Harris and Mike Lynch on 1080.
Bang, zoom, go the fireworks.
The Fan.
Welcome into the Hot Corner, for it gotta be a Wednesday, gotta be.
It's a beautiful Wednesday. Thank you, Christopher Walken.
Is that really Christopher Walken?
Oh, it's got a little tinge of it in there.
All right, well, I'll take it. You know that it's nice out as I'm staring at this thing, which reminds me that it's nice out when you get fruit flies.
Are there fruit flies in here?
Yeah, there's a fruit fly just flying right next to me.
Oh, great. We had a big fruit fly infestation in this building last year, if you remember that. Maybe it was 2 years ago.
They're everywhere. They cannot be killed.
And we got this email that said, hey, there's fruit flies in the kitchen. Please, please do not leave food out there.
Classic all-staff email here on the poop-filled Willamette.
But what did someone do that very day but leave 5 pizza boxes in there after pizza was had by somebody here in the station? And then the fruit fly problem got way worse.
Well, see, that's the problem with, hey, excuse me, please don't leave food. There are fruit flies everywhere. No, that's like, yo, MFers, don't leave food. If you do, I will find you, hunt you down, and kill you, for I hate fruit flies. That's like, I want to fill that refrigerator with bell peppers, you know, just because I'm a jerk.
Well, that person hasn't been here for quite some time.
So. And apparently they're out with a back injury, so bell peppers, good to go for to the go. Foreseeable future.
All right.
They've been out with a back injury for quite some time.
Yeah, I got the good to go from Mary and HR a couple weeks ago, made a delicious spaghetti with some bell peppers, and I was like, well, I got to go outside with this. She's like, no, you're fine.
See, that just reminds me of the person that
wafted
goes out.
Wafted it down the halls for everyone to smell.
You got a little fan out there, just like blowing it down the halls.
I had that experience today, too. I got in. And I walked over to a section of the building, and boy, oh boy, did that section of the building smell bad.
Yeah.
And my first thought was, oh no, Swag went to the bathroom again.
Why Swag? There's a ton of other people in this building.
Because it's Swag that has a history of blowing up bathrooms. But it was not that. It was very clearly the stench of someone who made some food that smelled horrific. And I want to say it was cauliflower or Brussels sprouts.
I like both of those.
I mean, they're fine. They taste good. But the general smell of them when cooked, not so good. And I feel like they...
What's Old Sparky? Yeah, that's a good one.
My favorite is How Are You Doing? I think that's what it's called. Yeah, I like that one. But I feel like that person then wandered the entire building and carried the smell of that food around because
went the scenic route.
Went the very scenic route.
We call that in the restaurant industry the scenic route so that everybody can see it.
Took every single possible hallway in the maze of the building that we have here and let everyone smell their likely delicious vegetables, but it smelled terrible. I hate it. I hate that. It's the same thing with tuna. Don't bring tuna to work. Don't bring fish to work.
You don't tell me what I can eat and what I can't eat.
I got the
look
for...
You eat what you want, but it smells bad and everyone will hate you for it.
I got the look for some salmon, the last night's salmon a few months ago. Joe. Yeah, I cooked it in the microwave, walked down the hall to my desk with it.
And Joe.
Definitely got a look on that one. I was like, what? This is delicious.
I'm sure here's it the tastes thing, good.
Like, when you cook it at home, it smells like that at home, and you still got to deal with it. Why is that any different here?
Because at home, the only people there are you and maybe significant others.
But you are the only person that is, you know, whining and complaining about this smell. But at home, it's okay.
I'm the only person. Everyone hates that smell.
But you do it at home and you're okay with it.
Yeah, I'm with Patrick on this one. It's like, why is it? What's the problem with the
fish? I think because you're mentally prepared when you're cooking it at home. But when it hits you in the nose when you're walking down the hallway and you're like,
I think, ooh, who's having seafood? Who's having salmon? That smells delicious.
That's what you think?
I think we all just need to kind of calm down and say it's okay. You know, everything's going to be all right, okay? Just because someone ate salmon or just because someone, you know, has some serious bowel issues, you know, we're all human beings. We're all human beings.
Are we?
Yeah.
Okay.
We are, except for maybe Swag. We're all human beings.
I'm going to assume that's a yes based on the bathroom experiments that have been going on.
Hey, the man can't help it, okay?
That I know. He has told me. This is what happens when you get old, Mike. And I went, God, I hope not.
Has the man ever heard of Metamucil? Come on. I don't want to hear those excuses.
I just think it got to be a little easy. Like, to tell people they can't have bell peppers, to tell people they can't have salmon. Like, if I cooked this bomb meal last night and I'm a small eater, I'm going to have leftovers. You're telling me I'm not allowed to eat them at lunch because somebody thinks it smells bad? Well, tell you what. What would you
rather? Well, somebody was allergic to bell peppers.
Well, that's stupid. That's like walking into a restaurant and being like, what can I have here? I can't have onions, though. Then it's like, get out. Just leave.
But isn't that
just leave?
The warning was not like one of those, like,
and you get a small refrigerator at your desk and you keep your food in there and you don't go in the kitchen. If you do, wear a SARS mask. I don't know what to tell you, man. Like, why are we all suffering because you lost the gene pool? Like, I don't know what to tell you here.
And you work in the restaurant industry?
Yeah, it's called natural selection. Yeah, man, because I'm not on the clock right now. When you're on the clock, you're like, oh my goodness, I'm so sorry. I will make sure those chefs know that there will be no bell peppers that touch your food. But it's still in the air.
But in your head, you want to just load that plate with bell peppers.
It's still in the air.
Rub it with a bell pepper before serving the food.
I can't have onions. What can I have here? I got literally lettuce. I got lettuce for you. Well, what about a burger? I mean, like, they are around onions all day. Like, what do you want from me here?
Well, it's the same with the gluten-free stuff, right? Don't you have to keep some of the bread, the gluten-free bread, separate from anything that has gluten on it for someone who has celiac disease?
Dude, if you have celiac disease and you walk into a sandwich shop, you're probably going to die just by walking in.
Well, there's different levels of celiac disease.
So don't go into a sandwich restaurant.
But if they have gluten-free bread, then you can go in there.
But because they have other real bread. Real bread.
My cousin has celiac. She goes into restaurants plenty. But she just has to make sure none of the food is contaminated. She can have it in the air.
See, that's what I mean. That's why we ain't got to freak out, man. We can't have bell peppers in the air.
In the air tonight?
Like, what are you allergic to here? Water ba-dum, and protein? Ba-dum, 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 ba-dum. That's a good song. Like, we're allergic to the air we breathe? What is in a bell pepper? Water and protein?
Yeah, I don't know, actually.
It's like being allergic to lettuce.
Seeds?
Are we shoving the seeds up your nose?
Capsaicin? I don't know. There's probably no capsaicin in a bell pepper.
I don't even know what that is.
That's what makes spicy food spicy.
Okay, cool. I just assumed it was peppers and vinegar.
Yeah, this fruit fly is bothering the hell out of me. Get out of here.
Shoe fly. What is a shoe fly?
Well, it's not a fruit fly.
Yeah, man. Those little buggers last like 24 hours, man. They give birth to 1,000 more.
Fruit
and
flies?
Then they die. Yeah. They're like flies in general. That's their lot in life.
I kind of forgot that the fruit flies came back once it got warm, because it's the first time in a while it's warm and you're like, weather's great. Nothing's bad. And then yesterday I found like 3 spiders in our house and I was like, dang it.
The spiders, I get.
Now they're coming back and now I'm seeing a fruit fly here and I'm like, all right, we got to be careful about leaving stuff out in the house.
The spiders, I get. That makes sense because you know, they can eat a lot and then sleep and make things go. These little buggers, they die in 24 hours. So where are they when they're not around? When it's cold?
all dead, extinct forever, and then miraculously born again?
Yeah, it's like Jesus all over again, dude. I'm shocked by it. I'm absolutely shocked by it.
Do they walk on water?
I don't understand. They like wine. They love wine.
They love all alcohol.
Yeah. Sugar. Sugar, baby. Yeah, dude.
And then they just sit there. If there's nothing there, they just wait.
Yeah, you pour yourself an alcoholic drink, and they're like, hey, man, I'm coming. Give me a sec.
You walk into You walk into any restaurant this time of year, there's just fruit flies everywhere.
I know. And it's like, oh, my God, this restaurant's disgusting. And it's like, oh, because the more fruit flies coming out of your sink at your house is totally sanitary. Or off your fruit basket in Beverly Hills.
Yeah. Yeah. We didn't have fruit flies when I grew up. Maybe it's only a West Coast thing. I don't know.
Don't you blame us West Coasters.
I'm not blaming. I'm just saying maybe it's a regional bug.
It sounds like an East Coast bias if I've ever heard one. We got enough of those, Michael. We do not need more. Fair?
Fair.
Fair.
Apologies.
You're a West Coast kid now, huh?
I am. Apologies.
You claim the West Coast now?
Yeah. Attaboy. West Coast, best coast.
Attaboy.
It is.
It is.
It's just a fact.
It's awesome. And everybody just leave us alone. We hate each other internally. We don't need more of
you. Nobody's leaving us alone. Everyone continues to come to the West Coast.
We'll go to California. Be a lot easier that way.
Nobody can afford to live there.
Well, I can't afford to live in a town I grew up in, so what do you want me to do here? What do you want me to do here? Oakley Doakley, we got a great show for you guys today. We are off the next 2 weeks, so we will do our best to cram everything we can do into this show. We're off because I'm going somewhere, Mike's going somewhere, Joe's going somewhere. So we got cool stuff coming up after that. That'll be fun to kind of play a little catch up. But don't worry, the Beers on Us podcast will also drop each Thursday while we are gone. Mike and I are doing preparations to make sure that stays in place. But no Hot Corner next week or the week after. We'll be back after Memorial Day. Coming up on the show today, we got Fair or Foul coming up at 8:30, as we always do. And maybe we'll even get to a little bit of that action as things have been crazy. So we'll get to that sometime later on in the show when nobody's listening anyway. But tons of baseball stuff for you guys today. You can follow us on social media. You can find Mike at MikeLynch27 on Twitter. You can find me at PDD085 on Instagram. You can also find our fantastic producer, Mr. Joe Fisher, at JoeFish3. That's FISCH3 on Twitter. You can also hit up the Better You Today text line, 55305. That bad boy lets you interact with us throughout the entire show. Okay, coming up, when we get to this, somebody did something that's really, really cool. And it's actually the second time he's done that. And we'll do that first. This is the Hot Corner on 1080 The Fan.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
Yeah! Gosh, I hate it when Mike tries to tell me what to do. Like, I'm coming, man. Give me a minute. Something cool happened in Major League Baseball yesterday, which, you know, we see every once in a while, but it's the first of the year. Not the first time for this, amigo, as Mike fires.
Talk about a random guy to do it twice.
Old man Mike fires for the Oakland Athletics against the Cincinnati Reds last night. Throws himself a no-hitter.
He's 33. I guess that's old man territory in baseball.
I guess I did that to myself.
Yeah, you kind of did. I didn't even realize that.
I mean, I think I call him old man Mike Fiers because he's been around. I feel like when you bounce from team to team to team, you just seem so much older than you actually are.
That is true.
You know what I mean?
Well, and he kind of has the old man look to him, too.
Yeah, but he goes out there and throws himself his second no-hitter of his career against Cincinnati last night. Final stat line, 9 innings pitched, no hits, no runs, no earned. 2 walks, 6 strikeouts, 131 pitches thrown.
Yeah, that's, I think, the big talking point of the day, for me at least, in this game. I mean, it's a no-hitter. It's cool. I like no-hitters. They're fairly frequent at this point. You know, you get a couple of years, so it's not like a perfect game where you're just bowing down to the person who threw it. Looking at you, Dallas Braden. I don't know what happened, but
hey, that's a perfect, by the way.
I know. But It's a cool thing to watch, and there's always a player or two that are amazing, and there were in this, and there's always a call that goes your way, and there was in this. But the pitch count, I think, for me was the biggest takeaway, because you almost never see a pitcher or a manager let their pitcher go for more than 115 pitches, even if they're chasing the no-hitter.
Right.
And the fact that I was looking at the highlights of the game, and every time the new inning started, it was like he's at 115 pitches in the eighth. And you're like, they're not going to let him finish this game. And they did. And my thought was, and I posted this to facebook.com/1080thefan.
Hey,
if you'd like to comment on it, or just text us at the Better You Today text line, 55305.
Nicely done.
Thank you. The question I had is, do you wish more managers would give their starters a leash to throw, I don't know what limit you want to put on it, up to 145 pitches to get a no-hitter? Or would you rather not risk that player's arm later in the year and just pull him and hope for the team no-hitter? Because we're at a point now where I think everyone's throwing faster and arm angles are really different. And injuries are way more prevalent in starting pitchers. And we all know that with strain and fatigue comes injuries. So you don't want to push it too far with your ace. Now, I guess Mike Fiers is technically their ace this year, but
right.
He's got like a 6 ERA. But where do you sit on that? Because I think old school baseball guy would be like, just let him play. Just let him throw. But you don't want to lose him because of that one game just for a no-hitter.
Well, I think that's kind of like you kind of nailed it on the head there. I think it really just kind of depends on who it is. You know, if Clayton Kershaw goes out there and it's the seventh inning and he's thrown 108 pitches, which Mike Fiers did last night, then, yeah, you're kind of like, hey, man, I'm sorry. You're done. But Mike Fiers has an ERA of 5.48. after throwing a 9-inning no-hitter, I don't think you're necessarily too worried about it. And I thought one thing that was interesting, that funny, you know, that the first thing we get to is the pitch count, was Bob Melvin broke all sorts of rules last night, the unwritten rules.
Yeah.
After the seventh, he went to him and he was like, yo, dude, you're throwing a no-no, but you put a runner on base and I'm pulling you. And I think that's so wild, and I feel like only Bob Melvin gets away with that. I want to talk about that.
Did he do that? I didn't know he did that.
After the seventh inning, right before the eighth, he went into the dugout, you know, and no one's sitting around Mike Fiers, and Melvin just went right up to him and said, hey, man, you put a runner on, and I'm pulling you.
Because it was only a 2-0 game.
Yep.
You didn't have much leash to give up a base runner or two. You needed to win that game.
Yeah, he said, at any means, you walk a guy, you put a runner on base, and I'm pulling you. He didn't put a runner on base.
He didn't.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of like that. I think that's kind of cool. I feel like it's something that really only like a Bob Melvin kind of guy can do that.
Yeah, and I think also it's Mike Fiers, not Clayton Kershaw.
Well, that's what I mean.
Kershaw, even if you're Bob Melvin, you can do that to Mike Fiers, I think, if you're most managers.
Well, yeah, but that I think that's the whole point of what I'm trying to get at is that Bob Melvin, you know, Mike Fiers, you can get away with for having him. How many had? Sorry, I just had it right here. 131 pitches. 83 were strikes. I don't know what the ratio looks like. I'm bad at math. But I mean, well, yeah. You know what, Mike? Go for it. Mike Fiers, you do you, boo.
I'm so torn on this because I view myself as kind of a moderate, if we're putting a baseball fandom on a political scale, because I am old school in a lot of ways. And
did you know Kershaw is on the mound right now, by the way?
I did not.
Yeah, me neither. Kershaw Folty, sneaky good matchup.
The old school part of me loves that he threw 131 pitches because,
right.
I mean, how many guys threw so many pitches back in the day and never got hurt? I know they weren't throwing as fast. I know they weren't throwing with as much spin and,
right.
You know, getting as much torque on your elbow as the guys are now. But part of me also just understands that the analytics are right. I mean, the numbers in the game are there for a reason. Baseball is a game of numbers more so than any other sport.
Right.
And there are ways to manage around the analytics and still put the human element into the game. But, I mean, the analytics are there for a reason, and you want it to – and it proves to you that it's that these things are there for them being right, if that makes any sense. So if Mike Fiers gets hurt next start and he's out for 2 months, then you're an idiot for pitching it from 131 pitches.
Right.
So I'm torn because I sit kind of in that moderate realm.
Yeah, I mean, coming in on the Better You Today – text line at 55305, Johan Santana threw that no-hitter with the Mets and was never the same after that. I think there's some accuracy there. I also think he was hot garbage at that time anyway, but I see the point there. I see the point there. But, I mean, baseball is also
full. That is one example.
Baseball is also full of milestones, you know? And these are things that, you know, sure, we see no-hitters happen more frequently these days. And, you know, definitely a lot more frequently than the only 28 perfect games ever thrown. But, I mean, I think it just takes a lot of cojones to say no to a guy. You know, especially a guy like Mike Fiers. Fulte's on the mound right now for the Braves against the Dodgers. This is like his second, third start of the year. If he's in the seventh inning and there's a no-no on the board and he's at 105, like, you're done, dude.
He is done.
You're done. Like, you are done.
He just
done.
Came back from injury.
Yeah, you are done, done, done. But I just think a guy like Mike Fiers, why not, dude? Mike Fiers is never going to the Hall of Fame. He's never going to win a Cy Young. And he's probably not going to win a World Series unless he sneaks onto a team at a trade deadline or something like that. So why not let the guy blow his arm out getting a second no-hitter?
Because he's one of your best pitchers, as sad as that might be.
Well, they're not going anywhere.
I mean, they could. I know they have had a slow start, but let's not write off the A's this early. I mean, it's the Oakland A's.
But are they winning a World Series?
Well, probably not.
If Mike Fiers is like, you know, you might go deep in the first round of the playoffs, or you could throw a second no-hitter. What do you think his choice is?
Go in the first round of the playoffs.
No way, dude. Duh. How many people have thrown two no-hitters?
35.
35. He is one of 35 people.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That is awesome.
You know
awesome.
How many people go to the first round of the playoffs?
A lot more than 35.
Like 200 a year. You know what I mean? I don't know. I don't. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I would take the second no-no. Maybe that's just me.
He's a team guy first.
Oh,
Patrick.
Stop.
He's a team stop, guy first.
Mike, don't even come at me with
he
that.
He wants to win for the team. He'd rather go to
garbage.
The playoffs and
if he
throw
wanted to win
second
for the
no-hitter.
If he wanted to win for the team, when Bob Melvin walked up, he'd be like, yo, coach, I'm done. Just pull me, dude.
But well, he wasn't done. He was great.
My arm's jello.
He was great.
He was great because two dudes made absolutely ridiculous plays, and they got home field love from Matt Chapman's error, quote unquote, right. At third.
That was a single.
Yeah, you see what I mean?
I don't know what.
There's always a little luck in this stuff.
Yeah.
I'd have let him go.
All right.
Let him go. Why not?
Well, I mean, that's what I just said. I also would have let him go. But I'm torn. That's all.
You're torn.
I'm torn.
Quick. Pop trivia, pop quiz for you guys. Who is the last pitcher to throw a perfect game?
The last pitcher to throw a perfect game.
An early fair or foul segment here.
Was Edinson Volquez?
Bartolo Colon.
Well, that'd be dope if it was Bartolo, but it's not Bartolo. And it is not Edinson Volquez. He threw a no-hitter. He had a perfect into the eighth and then finished with a no-hitter.
Perfect game.
Huh? Was it last year?
No, it's been years.
Years? Plural?
Plural.
Dallas Braden.
Was it Cliff Lee in the playoffs?
It is not. No, he threw... He didn't. That was Roy Halladay, and that was a no-no.
Yeah, there
it is the person after Dallas Braden.
Okay. Wow. It's been that long since a perfect game.
Yeah, man.
That's crazy. I don't know. I don't remember.
Joe, you out?
Oh, no. You heard my guesses. I clearly don't know.
The answer is... Your Felix Hernandez.
Oh.
That is your last perfect game in Major League Baseball.
How about
history.
That?
Story.
How about
still sitting
that?
On the throne, the king is.
The king is still there. The king is still there.
Not after last game, he isn't.
Hey-o! Buckets. Buckets. I wonder what's happened in the Milwaukee game. Oh, nobody cares. All right, when we come back, Mike and I were kind of talking about some pitchers that have been struggling as of late, so it's kind of interesting to kind of chat with that, see if we see a concern for these guys or if it's just kind of early season slumps, and we'll get into that next. But first, here's Joe with sports.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
We got ourselves a good baseball game on the tube right now. If you got MLB Network, you can tune in. You can catch Dodgers-Braves, Fulte Kershaw.
See, Justin Turner hit three bombs yesterday.
Three dingers.
They were all surefire home runs, too.
Hey, dude, I told you, he's kind of good. You were like, he sucks. He's done.
It's totally what I said, yep.
And check the tape.
You know no one's going to check the tape.
Joe, you got that tape check coming for me?
How am I going to check that?
He wasn't even listening.
I don't know. I'll wait.
Don't.
Okay. I'll stop. Mike and
just
I were...
go back to last week, Joe, and find what we were talking about.
Oh,
Cody Bellinger.
She was somewhere between 7 and 9, dude.
Listen meticulously every single minute, including commercials, just in case it slipped in.
Every once in a while, I tell, you know, someone's like, hey, you know, did I hear?
Joe looks so mad at me because he knows that I know that feeling of, can you go find this? And you're like, fine.
Every once in a while, you know, I run into someone, you know, what do you do? Blah, blah. You do this. Hey, I heard you do a baseball show. Yeah, I do it every Wednesday from 7 to 9. They're like, AM or PM? I'm like, yo, man, take one quick look at me. What you think? What you think? You think people want to hear baseball from 7 to 9 a.m.?
Nope.
No. Do you think I want to do baseball from 7 to 9 a.m.?
Yep.
No. Really?
Every day?
Well, yeah, I mean, every day, yeah. Am I getting paid?
Well, obviously.
Well, I don't know, Mike. How much do you get paid to do this show?
That's up to you. Your timesheets are a mystery sometimes.
Yeah, that is true. I just try to save them up, man. And it's like Christmas in July. Mike and I were kind of looking at some stuff and just kind of chatting outside the break, too, as well, about some pitchers off to some slow starts. And I'm kind of looking at some stats right now, and I'm just kind of curious if we are concerned about any of these dudes or not. I think it's real quick and easy to get Chris Sale out of the way. I think we're all worried about Chris Sale, right? I think everybody's worried about Chris Sale.
He's looked much better his last couple of starts, or two of his last three.
He did throw an immaculate inning today.
His slider looked good today.
Oh, cool. It looks terrible every other day.
Not really. He's just not locating it very well. But
that would equal terrible, Mike. His slider looks great. It's just a bit outside.
But since the end of April, he's gotten 10, 8, 10, and 14 Ks in his last four games.
How many runs he given up?
Not a lot.
4, 3, and 4?
I think it's 3, 2, 0, and 1. Getting back there a little bit, right? It shows you something, that his ERA is still a 5.25 based on
that's
that.
That's how bad he sucked.
Yes. Chris Sale probably victim number one of our list of bad starts for potentially good seasons.
Yeah, and funny, like, I'm looking at these, like, fantasy baseball current rankings. Like, he ain't even close to number one.
Current. Sale is 377 in this one league.
Yeah, dude. I'm looking at Aaron Nola at 399. He's got a 4.57 ERA. Although a whip of 1.48.
Although his last three starts also have been quite good. But, yeah, I'm going to be honest. I have not watched one Aaron Nola start this year, so I can't say that I know what's wrong with him. But could it just be, I know he's not necessarily a sophomore, but wasn't last year his first full season, or was it his second full season?
It might have been his second full season. Maybe I remember talking with Head Chef about him.
Maybe he's just getting more tape on him and guys have figured it out slightly, or it was just a rough patch for him.
Maybe the Phillies aren't as good as we thought. Disagree. They're 21-15.
There's a two-run bomb, Kike Hernandez. Sorry, Fulte. I know you own him on fantasy, but
both leagues.
Yeah. But yeah, Aaron Nola struggling quite a bit. 4.57 ERA. It's funny to say 4.57 struggling quite a bit, but these are guys who could throw like a 1.99 ERA.
Yeah, these are guys that at any moment could have a great outing. Carlos Carrasco, a 5.60 ERA, a 1.33.
Yeah, every time I look up, I feel like he's getting lit.
He's got a 12.74 K through 9, but I guess if you're not lasting many innings.
Yeah, well, he's pitched into the 6th or 7th most of his starts. He had one really bad one against the Royals where he went 0.2.
Yeah.
His ERA for that day was 81. But beyond that, he had a couple of shutouts in a row, or personal shutouts, not for the entire game. I don't know. You've watched him more. What's wrong with Carrasco?
Can't score runs. So the pressure goes on and you throw bad pitches.
What you think?
That's what I'd say.
What about Klubs?
His arm is broken.
Okay, what about before he broke his arm? Getting hit by a pitch, mind you. He has a 5.80 ERA and a 1.65 whip.
Ugh, God, that's ugly.
Is he just past that point now? Is he just old?
No, he knew he was going to get hit in the forearm by a fastball.
All right. How about a real reason, please?
No. I don't know what's wrong with the Indians. I think part of it could be Yan Gomes going to the Nationals. I think the Indians front office might have undervalued Yan Gomes and how he calls a game. I mean, I've heard these rumblings with Sandy Leon in Boston that's why their pitchers are struggling, because Sandy Leon is so bad at the plate that they're like, okay, bye.
Well, he was in AAA. I thought they called him back up.
They did. But there were thoughts of getting rid of him, and then everybody on their staff was getting lit up. So they were like, okay, maybe we should bring this guy back. So I think part of it is Yan Gomes. I think part of it is Mickey Callaway's in New York now. I think that he's a fantastic pitching coach.
But that's been for 2 years. Kluber wasn't that bad last year.
Right. But he wasn't as great or as dominant. So I don't really know what's wrong with him.
But is it just, I mean, is the age thing really that silly to say?
No.
I mean, he's never really had velocity, but...
No, the innings will eventually catch up on Klubs.
His location's just not as good. He used to be perfect on the corner, every pitch.
That slider was so nasty.
That he had a cutter and a two-seamer that would go either way, and you couldn't predict what it was, and it would always land, bink, perfectly on the corner. He almost never threw a bad pitch, and now I feel like every pitch is in the zone.
I also know that Kluber hasn't, for the last couple of years, pitched a lot in spring training because of the innings worry.
Same as Chris Sale.
So it could just be a slow start for him. I mean, he ain't going to pitch till August. So that could be part of it with him. I'm not sure.
Syndergaard really struggling this year.
Really struggling.
5-1-4. His last two starts ago, he threw a complete game shutout with 10 Ks and only one hit given up. Then he gave up, I want to say it was like 4 or 5 runs in 6 innings the next start. So he's got a 5.14 ERA. He's got a 1.33 whip. He has not looked good. I have watched him. His velocity's still there. His movement's still there. It's weird. There's not a lot of the aces that are really pitching great.
He's only got 2 quality starts, which tells me he's not even going deep into games.
He's not. Nope.
I would say guys that are
Walker Buehler is also struggling.
Yeah, Walker Buehler. Those stats look gross. So do Jack Flaherty's, too.
Although he wasn't expected to be good. Jameson Taillon, not good.
The only guys that look good on this list are, you know, old man Verlander, still holding her down.
Yep.
Still making it happen. And Jose Berrios.
And Blake Snell.
Could be a quick leader in the clubhouse for the AL Cy Young.
Blake Snell's ERA is a 3.62 because he had one really,
really bad,
really
start.
Bad start, but he has been very, very good this year.
Outside of Verlander, he's the only guy, and Berrios, for that matter, he's the only guy with a sub-1 whip.
Yeah, Berrios has been great.
Berrios has been very, very
good.
He's
finally figured it out because his issue always has been command.
Mm-hmm.
His stuff was always great, but he was wild, and this year that has not been the case.
Garrett Cole going deep into games but giving up runs late in games. His whip still looks good.
He's also striking out everybody.
His K-9 is stupid. but Garrett Cole, you know, hey, and that could be, you know, and that could be a little, you know, a little innings fatigue on him or something, or getting kind of up there. Who knows? I mean, the Astros are just going to keep trotting him out.
The number one pitcher in fantasy baseball in this league, Tyler Glasnow. The Pirates got screwed in that trade.
The Pirates hate life so much.
Glasnow and Austin Meadows.
Austin Meadows is playing really, really well.
Chris Archer.
How about Chris Paddock?
The rookie in San Diego.
Give that kid some love.
I'm a little frustrated because I was deciding between him and this other Padres pitcher who I already forgot his name because I dropped him. And I picked the other guy. And I could have had Paddock instead.
Padres pitching staff. Sneaky good. Kirby Yates, 14 saves.
Sneaky good. Manny Machado, not good.
Not good. Not good.
Not yet.
Everyone else is decent, though. All right. Let us know if you're worried about any of these guys. I don't know. I think it's a little too early to call if we're worried about any of these guys. But just if you're worried about anybody, let us know. Better You Today, text line 55305. When we come back, a man has a dubious honor that I will not be able to get over. And I cannot wait to talk about this. We'll do that next. This is the Hot Corner on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
Sounded like a drop.
Funny enough, this song's actually an instrumental, so there will be no growling in this song.
Uh-huh, I just did it.
Oceano, Depths.
Nice. I knew that, though.
It's because you're looking at it.
It's because I'm looking at it. How many times, first off, no, we'll stay there. how many times do you see dubious stats in baseball that you just kind of go, oh, that's stupid?
Very rarely.
Really? You like all of them? Even the weird ones?
I love random stats.
Like, yeah. The Cubs are really good on a Tuesday under the lights in March playing a National League West team.
Yeah.
You still like those?
I mean, I won't seek them out, but if some baseball writer tweets them out to me like Jason Stark and I just think it's interesting, then yeah. That's what baseball's all about. That's why I said it last segment. Baseball's the biggest stats game there is. It's fun.
That's true. But there was one today that seems kind of dubious that just really caught my eye that I just couldn't say no to. That is the great home run sensation in Arlington, Texas, known as Joey Gallo, just hit his 100th home run. Which is, you know, whatever. The dude hits home runs. That makes sense.
He hits a lot of them, yep.
He had 43 last year, so that surprises me. He's only at 100.
He is the new Adam Dunn.
He is
the new Rob Deere.
The only player to ever, right? Ever?
I don't know if that's the right stat, but he has hit the fewest?
He has hit the fewest singles en route to 100 home runs. I believe he is the only hitter to hit 100 home runs before reaching 100 singles.
Yes, that is true.
That is the stat I'm looking for.
Yes.
That, my friends.
He has 93 singles.
That, my friends, is not good.
And the funny part is, do you want to take a stab at the difference between he and the next guy on this list for fewest amount of singles at the time of their 100th home run? The disparity between the two. So he has 93 singles.
I would love.
I'm saying, do you want to guess?
Oh, do I want to guess?
Yes.
Who else would it be? Okay, so who would have 100 home runs and very few singles?
I will tell you the guys who are not second to last, if it helps you in the right direction.
Sure.
Dave Kingman had 180 singles by the time he hit his 100th home run. Chris Carter had 179.
Okay.
Ryan Howard had 176.
Okay.
Ken Phelps had 174.
Okay.
And then you've got one more guy, and then Joey Gallo with 93.
Oof. Wow, that discrepancy is huge. I'm gonna go with Carlos Delgado.
No, think former Mariner.
Former Mariner, Richie Sexson.
No, but good guess.
Dang, I felt really good about that one too.
Well, who else was on the Mariners? Who? I think he was on the Mariners. Let me double check.
Daniel Vogelbach.
He was on the Mariners. He was also on your team.
Also on the Indians, Richie Sexson. I already said this.
Adam Dunn.
No. Who is the other guy who's basically Richie Sexson, but not as good?
Franklin Gutierrez.
Oh, my God.
They're former Indians who were Mariners.
Think about it.
I'm struggling here.
First name starts with the same initial as Richie.
I'm out.
Russell Branyan.
Oh, Russell Branyan, man. No one thinks about Russell Branyan. No one likes the dude.
But he's basically Richie Sexson.
Well, Richie Sexton's like 6'12".
172.
That would make him 7 feet.
So the disparity is 81 singles from second to last.
That's super bad. That's just not acceptable.
Before your 100th home run.
As P9 Perry would put it, that's embarrassing. It's absolutely embarrassing that you have more home runs than singles. This is what happens, kids. This is what happens when you all get trophies and you say that it's okay to just hit bombs and not actually try to play baseball.
I want to see, because I feel like...
What record gets broken first? Lou Gehrig's Iron Man record or this? Because I'm struggling.
Neither gets broken ever.
Yeah. See what I mean? Like, that's a bad, dubious honor to have.
But without looking, Joey Gallo's having a good year this year. Seriously.
Was he only hitting doubles, triples, and home runs?
I guess so, but he's hitting 274. Joey Gallo is hitting 274.
Wow.
With a 426 on base percentage.
426?
Yeah.
I don't believe these. I feel like you're making this
up. That's
the
best on the Rangers. Better than Shin-Soo Chu, and who walks 900 times a year, and better than Elvis Andrus, who's hitting 338. Joey Gallo's hitting 274.
I think Joey Gallo sucks.
Well, not yet.
I'm sticking with it. But this can't be good, right? This is not sustainable for a player or for baseball. Is this just a stupid stat, or is this real-life direction of baseball?
I think it's real-life direction of baseball to an extreme. obviously. But, I mean, it's the epitome of what baseball is now, right? Strikeout or home run? Strikeout, walk, home run.
I hate it.
That's what it is.
How many walks does he have this year?
I will look for you.
Because I want to know what that on base. You said his on base percentage is better than Elvis Andrews?
Better than anyone on the Rangers, yeah.
Well, the Rangers are garbage.
He has 29 walks this year in 106 at-bats.
Hmm, interesting.
Basically every third at-bat.
Max Muncy just went deep in this Dodgers.
I don't like Max Muncy.
Braves game.
I don't like him. I think I'm determining. I don't like Max Muncy.
Do you like Max Muncy or Joey Gallo?
Joey Gallo.
Sorry. I'm taking Max Muncy.
Max Muncy has the douche face.
And I just like him because he's kind of thick.
Well, he is thick. He's not Daniel Vogelbach.
Nobody is. Daniel Vogelbach looks so fat that when he's at the dish, he looks like he's 4'11". Like, no joke.
You mean in height?
Yeah.
Not in weight? Or both?
He looks both. Right? He just looks huge.
The first person ever to be symmetrical in their height and weight.
Yeah, that'd be great. I'm 4'11 and 411 pounds. I don't think that'd be healthy.
I think that person would be dead.
Yeah. Wait, what's a better way to go? Is it better to go taller and weigh more or shorter and weigh more? Because if you're 5'11 and weighing 511 pounds, that ain't good.
No, well, once you break 300 pounds, it's really not good. Let's be fair.
What if you're 3'0" and you're 300 pounds?
Then you're dead. You're dead.
What if you're 5'0" and 500 pounds?
Then you're struggling to live.
You're still alive, though.
Probably. Have you ever seen
6'600"?
Have you ever seen the 600 pound life show?
No.
I don't like it, but my wife likes to watch it, so I'll catch it every once in a while.
I can't watch that stuff.
It's not good. But she likes it for whatever reason, and these people are really heavy, and they're living somehow. So, I mean, you can live through it. You just struggle.
Damn. Just be waiting for my 30 cats to just eat me alive. Not excited about Fulte getting lit up right now, though.
Three runs in three innings is not lit.
You think he can go six innings?
Sure.
If it's 6-0.
Then that's getting lit up.
Yeah, there you go. That's like the size and weight is the same.
Perfect symmetry.
All right, coming up in the second hour, we got some fun things to get to. We got fair or foul at the bottom of the hour. Also, we'll have to sneak in some Champions League at some point. We'll do that as well. Plus, leading off the hour, I got an interesting thing I was just looking at that just popped in my head that I said, maybe things are okay after all for this team. We'll get to that at the top of the hour. This is the Hot Corner on 1080 The Fan.